Hi, I'm Mary Harrell with Mater Dei Radio, and today Catholic Answers apologist Carlo Broussard is here to talk about something that both Catholics and atheists can agree on. Imagine that. And that's the problem of God sometimes feeling hidden from our eyes. Carlo's taking us through chapter 10 of his book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. So good morning to you, Carlo.
Hey, good morning, Mary.
Tell us a little bit more about the different ways to approach the problem of God's hiddenness.
Yeah, so the problem of God's hiddenness is sort of a subspecies of the problem of evil. And that's to say, listen, you know, God knows I'm an honest, rational inquirer. So if he existed and he was all good and all powerful and everything that theists say he is, well, then he would see to it that he would manifest his existence to my mind in such a way that I could not possibly doubt in no way that he exists, because he knows I'm honest. And if I knew he existed, my will would follow and I would obey him. I would give my life over to him. So the fact that God doesn't manifest his existence to my mind in an absolute, indubitable way, that means without any possible doubt, but then he must not exist.
So they put the burden on God to show themselves.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so what we can do in our first strategy is to say, listen, God is not bound to give us absolute indubitable evidence in order to rationally follow him, but only what philosophers call intellectual indubitable evidence. And so absolute indubitable evidence is like beyond, you know, no doubt whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But intellectual indubitable evidence is, listen, I have a good reason not to doubt. So for example, take a gentleman who is about to get married to his fiance, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have evidence that excludes all possible doubt of whether she loves him, you know, because everything she does to show her love for him, she could be deceiving him, right? But, I mean, and if that's the kind of evidence he's going to need to marry the girl, well, then guess what? He ain't ever going to marry
that's
her.
That's a terrible thought. No.
That's right. That's right. But it is reasonable for him to marry her because he has evidence that she loves him that excludes prudent doubt. Mm. Now, granted, the analogy falls apart because God could provide the absolute indubitable evidence if he wanted to, whereas right. the fiancé can't. But I think there's good reason for God not to manifest himself to our mind in such a way that we don't have to do any work on our part whatsoever yeah. in order to acknowledge his existence. And this brings us to strategy two, Mary, where we start reflecting upon how it's befitting of God's goodness to allow man to rationally inquire about his existence, which necessarily presupposes the possibility to get it wrong, right?
Mm, sure.
And the idea is this: rational inquiry is a good thing. It's a distinct mode of knowledge that God has bestowed upon human beings, given the kind of things that we are, namely humans. It belongs to our nature to acquire knowledge through experience, to have to reason through things, right?
Sure.
And that presupposes the possibility of error. But there is something human to the quest for truth and rational inquiry. And that's a good thing. There's a certain nobility in that. And so it's consistent with God's goodness that God will man to come to know the truth about his existence in a uniquely distinct human way. You see, we're not angels. Angels just have knowledge. Boom, it's infused in their intellects, right? But we have to inquire in order to arrive at that knowledge. So think about this. God wills whatever is good for man, right?
Right.
Well, rational inquiry is good for man. Therefore, God wills rational inquiry. And of course, with that rational inquiry comes the possibility of falling short of the truth. And so it's no surprise that some people are going to fall short of seeing the truth. So rational inquiry is a human thing. And inasmuch as it's a human thing and befits and is part of our noble nature as human beings, then it's good for God to will that rational inquiry.
So that's part of how we are made. That's in our fabric that we are to be looking for God, not just to have him revealed to us, boom, from the very beginning.
That is correct. Yeah. And there's something human about it. And it's perfectly consistent with God's goodness to relate to us in accord with our natures, you see. And then finally, we come to strategy three. I think there's another element of goodness and wisdom and God allowing us to have to go through this rational inquiry in order to arrive at knowledge of the truth of his existence. And that is, it could very well be that the rational inquiry is a condition for seeing the indubitableness, the absolute truth of the evidence, and thus making one's knowledge of his existence more rewarding. I mean, think about this. Notice your math teacher in math class. What would the math teacher always say? Show your work.
Ah, yes.
He or she would never let you look in the back of the book to get the answer, right? You have to show your work. Why? Because when you walk through the steps and arrive at the conclusion or the answer yourself, your knowledge, you no longer have to believe that the answer is true based upon the testimony of the book or the teacher, but you know the answer is true.
Right.
And that knowledge is more certain, and that certain knowledge actually incites within you, wells up within you a certain joy because you can rejoice in that knowledge. Similarly, it's very possible that God allows for us this process of rational inquiry, of working through the steps to arrive at knowledge of his existence, in order that once we do arrive at knowledge of his existence, that knowledge will be more certain, and that knowledge will reap a greater fruit of experience, of joy in that truth. Now, finally, somebody might say, well, Carlo, what if I never get to that truth? Will God send me to hell? No, of course not. God is not only all-loving, but also all-just. And so God is not going to condemn somebody to hell for something they're not responsible in not knowing. And this gets back to the Second Vatican Council's teaching of the possibility of God working outside the boundaries of his sacraments and administering the graces of salvation to those who, for whatever reasons, that there it's not due to their own fault, that they lack explicit knowledge of God. And if they're following the truth that they come to know and the goodness that they come to know and choose the goodness, it's possible that God can administer saving grace to them. Mm. So you may have people verbally rejecting God, but they might be rejecting a Santa Claus God or something in their mind,
right,
which is not really a rejection of the authentic God. So only God has access to the heart and to the mind to know. So the atheist who is an honest inquirer and who just can't see the evidence, it doesn't necessarily follow from that they're automatically going to go to hell, because God could very well manifest himself to them at the last moments of their death to where they come to accept him.
Well, Carlo, in your book, the answers are not in the back. I've looked. There's no key in the back with all the answers to these questions, unfortunately. But if you'd like to work along these questions with Carlo, it's an amazing book, Prepare the Way. Carlo, tell our listeners where they can pick it up.
They can pick it up at shop.catholic.com, and I would greatly appreciate it if they do so.
Indubitably. Indubitably you would.
All right. Kind of rolls off the tongue nicely.
It does. Mary Poppins, right? Doesn't Bert say indubitably in there? I think he does in the park scene. Anyway, Carlo, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you.